Last Wednesday, we saw the first ever image of a black hole that was developed through a digital telescope.
I know, I saw it.
We used 5 or 6 different observatories across the world, and this had nothing to do with how much gas prices are in Saudi Arabia or what's happening in Yemen or the struggles that are going on currently in Venezuela. This is about people coming together and saying, like, we want to understand. We want to understand how this world works better. We want to help people with some of the things that we understand. I have a good friend, Jonathan, who he thinks very similar to me in this idea that STEM is not, it's not the money major. It's not this thing that you do because it's cool. It's this thing that we do that's going to help people. It's going to change lives. It's going to create vaccines. It's going to give people clean water. It's going to make sure more people are fed. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that we're doing with engineering globally, and I hope it does change the world.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Drake Lamb is a sophomore in the HBU College of Engineering. Launched in the fall of 2018, the HBU College of Engineering offers tracks in cyber engineering, electrical engineering, and a Bachelor of Science in computer science. The mission of the college is to educate and train engineers who will utilize God-given resources and God-given talents to serve humanity by solving technical challenges efficiently and securely. I want to tell you, that cyber engineering stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese right now are working in visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And The Economist the other day had a fascinating article that the communists are literally creating an ordered social structure.
Mm-hmm.
All through visualization, and it's all about cyber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why in the world, how'd you get there?
The cyber engineering, well, you make an interesting point about the Chinese. Actually, my first paper I ever did in the engineering college was about AI structures in China, and they're one of like the world
exactly.
leaders in developing artificial intelligence. They based all of their hospital systems off of it. It's ridiculous. Like, it's crazy how much further ahead they are in us and things like that, or like space technology. We had a professor come in, she was interviewing, and she came to talk to the class. She talked about working on a DARPA project.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cloud of literal satellites that are like sharing information back and forth and developing security software for it. I would say for me, getting started with the engineering college, it was something along those lines. Like I said, I switched back and forth. I had 10 different majors coming in, and I kind of got to talking to Dr. Napper through my advisor when I was still a biochemistry major. He said, go to the engineering college. He's like, it looks like, you know, you and math get along pretty well. Like, let's see what you can do. And I was like, you know, I don't know about this. You know, I'm tired of switching majors. But when I talked to Dr. Napper, and I think it was really his passion more than anything. He showed me that my capabilities, like my potential, weren't going to be wasted. I wasn't just going to be reading textbooks. I was going to be like getting in a classroom, designing something, being like pushed to my limits to do something that could actually help the world. I mean, like, we talk about the Chinese and these incredible systems they're designing to order their social structures. But I mean, you go into any hospital nowadays, modern medicine is probably one of the most advanced things we've ever seen in the history of the world, and that's all electrical engineers. It's all computer science. It's learning to understand and apply mathematics in a way that like practically helps people. I think one of the bigger inspirations is the Houston Food Bank. It's entirely designed by systems engineers from Texas A&M and UT. That's
really?
All engineers going in. They have a conveyor belt, so when we do our FYS project to start the year and you go into the Houston Food Bank and you're unloading trucks here and loading in different canned goods into this conveyor belt system that was designed by A&M engineers. And then if you actually go in, if you look at how the industrial warehouse is structured, I mean, you have millions of tons of food that are distributed across the city. And you have to have really, really good information systems management. And we talk about that a lot in Dr. Drake's class, just how you control your inputs, your outputs, and the results you're getting out of that. And that's all engineering, and it's feeding millions. I kind of love it.
Well, I mean, Drake, you said how many majors?
That's 10 now. This is number 10.
That is cool. I mean, it tells me you've got a creative mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you 10 majors. Tell me how that happened.
Okay. Well, it started with kind of, I mean, I think everyone has a unique story coming to HBU. It's funny how many people HBU isn't the very first choice they have going into school, and it ends up being the one that they were supposed to arrive at.
I've heard that.
Yes, my mom is an alumni of Oklahoma State University, and so my whole life I was like, you know, go Pokes. I'm going to go there. I'm going to be a physicist. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to go change the world and go into space. And so it took a couple visits there for me to realize it wasn't really the school for me. In HBU, I realized I'd applied in the fall. I had not applied to a lot of other schools. I was like, you know, it's close to home. I did not have a good faith life at this point. There was something in the back of my head that said, maybe if I go to the school, I'll be more challenged in that. But I don't think that was really the primary reason. I thought, you know, I'm close to home. I'll save some money. I'll get to be near my family. I was like, maybe I'll transfer out after a year. I think everything was up in the air. And so I get my boots on the ground at HBU, and I realize I'd switched from physics to psychology. And I was like, you know, I don't know if this is really the major for me. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to UT. I was like, let me get these classes down to go be a finance major over there. And I was like, you know, I don't really want to be a finance major. And then I'm back and I'm like, I'll do economics. Oh, wait, we don't have economics. I'll try and do something sociology related. And then it gets to biochemistry, molecular bio. I'm just keep searching, jumping back and forth, trying to figure out what it is.
Nice.
I had a lot of problems with HBU my first year. I think until I kind of opened up, I feel like it was more of a me problem than anything. It was like learning to embrace the people here, the structure of it. I mean, my Calculus 2 class had 7 people in it. I don't know if you get that at M or UT or U of H or really any other school.
And sounds like concierge to me.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dr. Lewis, I mean, I don't know if he'd like me to call my best friend, but he was a buddy of mine. I mean, I saw him 6 hours a week. I was in his office hours every day. Like, how do you integrate this? I had no clue what was going on in that class, and I think I would have been even further lost, except I could talk to my professor every day. It was like a little family in there. It's kind of how the engineering college has gone this semester. You know, we take these first two classes concurrently, this computer projects and this engineering projects class together. So, you know, the 8 people that are in these classes, we see each other like 9 hours a week.
And so, band of brothers.
Yes. No, I mean, we're super close. We're very tight. We have our little fights, our little squabbles, but I mean, it's a family. We have to learn to get along with each other. I think it's developed some really cool, really beautiful friendships very quickly over the course of the semester. And so I'm excited for another 3 with this.
So here you are. I mean, this is amazing. You're a sophomore and you're in the HBU College of Engineering and, you know, cyber engineering. And this dean of yours is a locomotive, man, Dr. Stanley Napper.
Dr. Napper is probably
Holy
one of the...
Holy moly, this guy just has unending energy.
No, he doesn't stop. And it's a funny connection. My grandfather, my step-grandfather, he graduated from La Tech, and his son, Chris, went to Louisiana Tech. That's where Dr. Napper is from. I think they may have known each other. I still need to clarify the connection there. Dr. Napper doesn't stop. It's awesome, though. You know, some deans, you try and talk to them, and it's like, well, here's a secretary, you know.
Here's a starch suit.
Yes, or it's like, here's your timer, let's talk, okay, bye. No, Dr. Napper, I mean, he'll have 8 different appointments. I've seen it before. I'll go in there and I'm trying to talk to him, like, you know, I'm kind of sad, like this girl, that girl, you know. I'm trying
to... haven't got to that part yet.
Man, I was like, I'm just trying to be a man of faith. And it's, so we're talking, we're having a good conversation. We get through kind of the business we need to talk about as far as like me registering for classes. And then I walk out and I was like, there's the professor like over the math department, and there's Dr. O'Hara from the biology department, and they're having some like super comprehensive meeting about him going in as the overall STEM dean next year. And I was like, this, you know, he had time to sit here and talk me through my relationship issues at the same time that he's getting ready to take over an entire other college. I mean, that sponsors, jumping back and forth, the SIM sponsor that we got, we just had the Grace Hopper scholarship come through. All of this is Dr. Napper, like you said, he's a locomotive. He doesn't stop, and he's powerful when he's going. I mean, he takes care of business, and I mean, he takes care of us as an engineering college in a way I just never expected. I was like, well, we got a project lab. We got these cool little green backpacks and these toolkits, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know, the sky's the limit. It's what it feels like.
Well, Dr. Matt Napper is a great Christian mentor, too, and that guy takes his faith seriously.
Yes, sir.
And now, Drake, tell us about you. I mean, you were raised in Sugar Land?
I was, my story is a little funky. My mom was born in Houston. When her parents divorced, she moved back to Port Neches Groves. So I was born, my hometown, I guess you could say, well, I'll call it my birthplace, was Beaumont, Texas. I was born there to a woman named Dr. Angel. I don't know, that's something divine to that. But I grew up in Port Neches Groves for 5 years. I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and lived there for another 5 years, where my mom went to Oklahoma State for a PhD. And then I lived in Sugar Land for the last 10 years. And so I think I would really consider that my hometown. So I wasn't born and raised Sugar Land, but I think it was a really important part of me developing as a person. It's a super diverse area.
Yeah.
And so I grew up, you know, I was a Spanish minor for a while. It's something that I decided to part ways with, just with my other coursework considered. But I still try to speak the language as much as possible. I had a presentation in my government class on the conflicts going on in Venezuela. And so I started that speech out in Spanish just because I was like, cool. You know, I got these tools. Let's see if we could try it out. I think eclectic is probably the best word to describe me. Like I said, the 10 majors switching back and forth, it was me kind of trying to figure out, like, you know, I got all these ideas in my head. I got all these different things I want to do and pursue and try and enjoy and, like, fully fledge myself out into. And I don't think I needed to define myself with a title on a degree. I needed to find something that continued to challenge me. And that's where the engineering college came in. I still try and find time to do things like writing, or I'm making a video right now for my philosophy class. Really enjoyed that project. I am a philosophy minor, so I try to, as much as I'm engaged in the science field, as much as I feel like that's my, you know, that's my calling, that's what, like, God blessed me with those talents so I could go out and do something for the world, I still like the idea of a mental challenge of thinking through. It's like, well, I believe in this God, but, like, what is this God like? What does it mean to be, like, a good man in the world? What did the Romans think a good man was? What did the Greeks think a good man was? How are we supposed to live our lives as not only, like, Christians, but just as good people? And I think those two should go together as one mission, right?
Of course.
And learning through philosophy has taught me a lot about that, kind of put it all together into one scope.
Now, tell me about your faith journey. How did you become a Christian?
My faith journey is an interesting one, to say the least. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and so I was confirmed in the Catholic Church at the age of 17, and I had a lot of questions. And, you know, the Catholic Church is a very tradition-oriented church, and so I went through a lot of the steps. I went through, you know, five of the sacraments or so, and I did my best to learn. I was actually a Sunday school minister when I was there. I think I did about a year or two doing Sunday school there. And I just fell out of my faith. You know, I experienced some negative things in the world. The problem of evil is a chief topic we talk about in philosophy, right? Like, how do good things happen to bad, or how do bad things happen to good people? And I didn't really handle that well. I didn't handle that well with myself, or I didn't handle it well seeing it with others. And so when I get to HBU again, I'm not very much, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll go to Combo so I can get your CLW points. Like, get me out of here, you know. I was not engaged with the lesson. I wasn't engaged with the idea. And I would actually say, it was Nathan, our BSM leader. He invited me one day. He's, you know, they do the lunch every Tuesday for commuters, and I came out. And he sees me, and I think I got Nicomachean Ethics on it, which is just real chunky Aristotelian philosophy. And he's like, you know, he's like, if you like discussing those ideas, like, let's talk about Jesus. And I was like, all right, Nate. I was like, I don't know if we need to go there. I've been very firm about not, and I really was firm about not letting myself get into faith. I didn't want to open my heart to it. And I was like, you know, I'm almost 20 now. I'm a little bit different now than I was 17 when I walked away from the faith. I was like, let me give it a chance. And so, again, it's a journey. It was a process. We read through Mark. We did it over the course of a month. And after that, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. So I even walked away after that opportunity. But very slowly, I would say, really, like, over the last month or so, we're reading through some of the Stoic philosophy. And I'm like, you know, I like what they're talking about, that we should live life to be the best person we can be, not just for ourselves, but for others. We should humble ourselves to the idea of other people, and just, it kind of hit me differently. And I have a lot of good mentors in my life. They're telling me, they're praying for me all the time. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever you say, like, thank you. But I finally kind of, it just clicked. I think that's the best way to put it. I think that God just turned something in me. I mean, they say that we cannot be saved through our works, right? It's not just a traditional idea. I think it is the idea of faith. We can't be saved through anything but His grace. And I think that just started working in me. I started seeing things line up in my life a little bit better. I saw kind of just the beauty and what it meant to live for other people. You know, I do a lot of volunteer activities, and I think that's also probably been one of the single most fulfilling things I've done in my entire life, is volunteer. And I was just seeing God's perspective on everything. And so one day I went to a church, not a Catholic church, it was a Baptist church in Sugar Land. It's called the Fort Bend Church. with one of my mentor figures, and I was just listening to everything. I'm standing up, I'm singing along with the choir, and I'm smiling. It's that beaming smile. I think, you know, you learn to recognize as long as you're in faith when somebody feels grace. I think that's what it was really taking over. And so at the end, they have a call up. They're like, everybody, you know, it's like, this is the invitation. It's like, you know, don't wait another day. You don't know if you'll walk out of here today and get hit by a truck when you walk out. It's like, there's nothing really guaranteed in life. Had some personal experience that kind of, that was very impactful to think, you know, like, who knows what day we're gone, what day we're going to get called up. And so I was like, you know what, like, maybe this is right. And so I walked up to the front of the church. I walked back, talked faith with some people. And over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've just been trying to pray more. I have a great friend here, AJ. He's a wonderful young man. He had an experience recently where he decided that he wanted to go into ministry. And it really shaped what I was seeing. You know, even somebody I knew who was always a very devoted, very prayerful young person, there was another level for him. And so he's always been open to talking to me the past couple of weeks. We just sat down and said, you know, why does God do this? Why does God do that? Why would they write something like this in the Bible? How do people follow the Bible now? Or we talked about things that I had read in Mark before, and I think that was, you know, to call it God's plan, right? And it was all coming together in that moment. It was a gospel that I had read before affecting how I looked at things now and how I wanted to kind of conduct myself moving into the future. And so that's my faith journey. It's definitely far from complete, but it's a very recent kind of all coming to fruition.
And that happened in the environment of HBU.
Yes.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yes, yes, sir. And it's crazy. You know, I didn't expect it. I spent so much time saying, no, I'm not at a Baptist university. I'm at a university that happens to be Baptist. I also will give a lot of credit to the Honors College. It's where I started out, actually, in my first semester. But the people in the Honors College, despite me leaving, despite me saying I'm going to another university, I don't want to be involved in any of this, they never stopped. You know, a friend, Emily, she never stopped praying for me. Rachel Sweet, she never stopped asking me, not only, you know, like, I'm praying for you, I care about you, but just like, you know, how are you doing? You know, she knew where my heart was. She knew that there was a cold stone in there, and she never stopped, not pressing, but making sure I was okay. I mean, HBU was an environment where, you know, I thought it was going to be very judgmental. I thought I was going to come into a place where I was just going to be forced to pray all the time and never really able to speak my piece. Even in my philosophy assignments, when we talk about, you know, how do we look at this from a perspective of God? You know, if I tell Dr. Hamadi, I'm like, you know, this was before I identified as a Christian. I was like, you know, I don't identify as a Christian. He's like, then answer this question how you feel it, how it means to you, not how it is as a Christian. Don't pretend to be a Christian so you can answer my questions. He's like, that's not what you're getting graded on. You know, my faith status has never affected my grades here. It's never affected really my relationships besides people caring about my faith. At HBU, I mean, it was the perfect place to sow the seed, I guess you could say, for God to bring me here.
And that's the beautiful balance at HBU, in that although it's a Christian university, it's not forced on you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beauty to that, because people have to come, you know, as Jesus said, whosoever will mm-hmm. may come. But you got a will to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now faith has made a difference in your life. Now, I can tell you're a brilliant young man.
Thank you, sir.
You must test very well. And your GPA was what?
This last semester, I think it was like right at an even 3.5 coming into the semester.
As smart as you are, it could be a total 4.1.
I'm shooting for it. I had my struggles, like I said, when I wasn't all into HBO. I let my grades slip and everything like that. But I mean, you're talking about, that's where I want to be. I want to be the very best student that this university's ever seen. I'm trying to do that.
Drake, you could do that. I can tell just talking to you, I know you could do that.
Yes,
and
sir.
My challenge to you is to do that. Go
yes,
to your
sir.
Destiny, because you can. Not everybody can, but you can.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me about your future. Do you have any idea of where you're thinking? I know you're a sophomore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot's going to happen in the next 2 years, of course.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think it's what you said. I recognize, you know, one of the craziest things is what can happen to a person. Because if I look back on it, you know, if I go back to April of 2018, you know, I was like, I was like skipping class. I didn't want to get out of bed in the mornings. I, you know, hated the idea of being at this university. And I was here today. There was a pro-life assembly where they were doing like a little, like an egg run, like a little Easter egg run. And I'm up there dancing, singing on the microphone, shaking hands with people. I was like, this is exactly where I wanted to be on a Wednesday afternoon. I recognize a lot can happen in a year, and you're giving me good perspective in that sense that I couldn't quite tell you what would happen in the next 2 years to shape me. If I were to tell you what I wanted to do right now, on the more fun side of things, I would love to work for a company like Tesla, like develop like a self-driving car, be a part of an engineering project along those lines. My very much not as philanthropist goal would be to go work in F1, so go work in the Formula One cars and develop. There's so many electrical systems that go on in developing these cars. I mean, these are the fastest machines in the world.
And Volkswagen in Germany has invested nearly $1 billion in electronic vehicles.
Yes.
And you tell that to people here in America that combustible engines are going to be a thing of the past, and they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, they'll laugh at you.
Yeah, and as you know, Uber is working on driverless cars. And Kroger is, it's in the paper today, Kroger is going to have, electrical cars deliver groceries. I mean, this world is going to change so much in the next decade.
It's incredible.
We're going to look back and think we were really in the Stone Age in 2019.
Yes, sir. And that's crazy to think about, but it, like, in the best way. I mean, we've, you know, there's a lot of debate about what the environmental issues we have are, but there's one thing that we can't really debate, and that's that fossil fuels are eventually going to run out. And so that's where I say, like, you know, the fun one is to go design the fastest car ever. But on a more practical side, I see automotive is really important because, if, I mean, we live in the city of Houston, right? Everything's a 30-minute drive. It's for me getting here to HBU. I mean, we are at like a 60% commuter population currently. You think how many students wouldn't be able to get an education, period, if they couldn't drive to school, especially in a city as spread out as we are. I mean, transportation in the globalist world is never going to stop being incredibly important. And so being a part of the projects that you're talking about, where it's like, we're going to put $1 billion into making sure we have a planet for tomorrow, that we can continue our infrastructure, that we can make sure people can get back and forth to their jobs, back and forth to go see grandma, to go get groceries, simple things like that. I mean, I don't think we need to sacrifice our way of life, technology and innovation. You know, some people are scared of how fast technology is moving. I'll admit I have my own worry. Sometimes I'm like, man, you know, were we even ready for all of this? We're getting into, we got, you know, the military. Dr. Drake is of the Air Force. He told me that he's got buddies still in the Air Force, and they fly a desk. And I was like, Dr. Drake, what do you mean by that? He's got a lot of good jokes. He's got a lot of real funny jokes. I was like, what do you mean they fly a desk? He's like, they go to their office, they pick up an Xbox controller, and they fly a drone around and kill the bad guys halfway across the world in the Middle East. It's, when you hear about it, it's just kind of breathtaking. It's, part of it's scary, right? And then part of it's like, you know, this means that people aren't dying when we have to fight wars. Whenever we're fighting for the causes that really matter to us as a country, nobody has to die. And then on a much more peaceful front, in the home front itself, like the fact that we're going to be able to take care of transportation, medicine's only going to continue to improve the more and more we understand about technology. I mean, this is the type of stuff that allows us to sustain our world, that we're going to stay on this planet. I mean, what we've done, if you really think about it comprehensively, we've taken this rock, we populated it, we drew borders on it, and we started fighting over every single issue we could think of, right? I think that technology is one of those things. You know, last Wednesday, we saw the first ever image of a black hole that was developed through a digital telescope.
I know, I saw it.
We used 5 or 6 different observatories across the world, and this had nothing to do with how much gas prices are in Saudi Arabia or what's happening in Yemen or the struggles that are going on currently in Venezuela. This is about people coming together and saying, like, we want to understand. We want to understand how this world works better. We want to help people with some of the things that we understand. I have a good friend, Jonathan, who he thinks very similar to me in this idea that STEM is not, it's not the money major. It's not this thing that you do because it's cool. It's this thing that we do that's going to help people. It's going to change lives. It's going to create vaccines. It's going to give people clean water. It's going to make sure more people are fed. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that we're doing with engineering globally, and I hope it does change the world.
Well, we've been listening to Drake Lamb, and he is a sophomore, and I'm telling you, a young man with lots of ideas. You got incredible potential.
Thank you, sir.
Tell you what, my challenge to you today is go to your destiny and impact the world.
Yes, sir.
Because you could do it.
Amen. Thank you.
You could do it. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And you can learn more about the engineering school at HBU, cyber engineering, electrical engineering, Bachelor of Science in Computer Science. That is one of the hottest degrees right now that somebody can get.
Yes.
And you know that when Apple is giving classes on code to high schools across America on request?
Yes, sir.
What does that tell you about where the future's going?
My mother works in education in the Fort Bend Independent School Districts. I've had the opportunity to speak a couple of times with the superintendent over that district. One of the things that I ask them about all the time, like I said, Spanish was a passion for me. They're saying computer science is now offered as language in high school in favor of foreign languages.
I understand why.
And you hear it, and it makes sense. At first, you know, I was kind of idealistic. I was like, no, you know, what if they don't get to read Don Quixote in Spanish? And then I thought about it. I was like, everything they do is going to be on a computer. We're the service-oriented country of the world. Everything that we design, do, like you said, Apple, Microsoft, they have summer classes where you take 12 hours of coding over a summer and you just learn a language. I think the starting salary, if you can code in Python now, this is Dr. Carlton, our computer science professor speaking, $110,000 right off the bat.
No question.
You know how to code in Python, it is the language of tomorrow. It's going to change the world.
And HBU has been right on the cutting edge, thanks to the vision of Dr. Robert Sloan and the incredible Dean Stanley Napper. Boy, there's a winner. Learn more about it at hbu.edu/admissions, hbu.edu/engineering, a degree for tomorrow. A degree you can take straight to the bank and raise a family and buy a house and take care of your financial needs. Enrollment guidance counselors at 281-649-3211. Any question you have, they'll answer, and I guarantee you it'll be with a caring person. And I want to just say to you, Drake, boy, this has been awesome to meet you. We're going to follow you, and got big, big aspirations for you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.